And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatchers from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground here in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. And I'm glad you could join us down here. I don't know what it is about having Jane on the episode on Dispatches, but I always am in such a fucking good mood when she's here. And she is back. Jane from the band Trashy here in New York City is back again, and I'm in a great mood. I don't know if she's bringing it with her, or if it's the prospect of doing another episode with her, or just the incredible perspective she brings to the show. I don't know what it is, but I think we should keep it coming, and Jane's going to keep bringing it. So super appreciate Jane coming back and doing another episode with us today. You know why I'm in a good mood? I don't want to take anything away from Jane here, because it's most likely Jane, but here's another possibility too. My band Skullcaster is on the road. We're going to be playing Portland December 9th. I'm not sure when you're listening to this podcast, but December 9th, we're playing in Portland, and we're playing shows all the way down the West Coast and over into Texas. And I get to play shows with some of my favorite people in the world who I don't get to see very often on the left side of the U.S. And honestly, maybe people in California and on the West Coast, they might be better people than the rest of us, just slightly better than the rest of us. We're all pretty disgusting, horrible people, but they might be slightly better than us. I'm a big enough person to admit that. I don't want, if there's anybody from the West Coast, don't tell anybody else. I don't want to like get out of control, but they're all good people, and I'm super excited to be playing with a bunch of friends, and I'm super excited to be out of New York City. Not that I don't love New York City, but I don't love New York City, and I'm super excited to be out of New York City and playing these shows and on tour with my new band Skullcaster. I love these tunes, and I love the folks in that band too. I mean, it's just so much love. It's a little disgusting, actually. I'm a little disgusted by myself. Nonetheless, I am in a good mood. Possibly because of Jane, possibly because of this impending tour. And we're going to talk about that a little bit on the show and the songs that we play today. I'm going to be playing Skullcaster at the top of the episode, my band that just released our first album. Shinime is the name of the album. The band's name is Skullcaster. And you can get our tunes on our Bandcamp page, Skullcaster. That's Caster, C-A-S-T-E-R. NYC.bandcamp.com. You can get our tunes on there, but we will have a CD on tour as well. And our CD is going to have special mixes with special added features. So you can get our bare bones songs on our Bandcamp page, which I think are great songs. You're going to love them. But you can pick up, if you're at these shows, you can pick up our special mixed CD on tour at any of these shows, which you will not want to miss, not just because we're going to be there and you're going to hear us later, but also because the bands we're playing with and all these towns all over the West Coast and the Southwest, they're fucking incredible. We're playing with Groundscore in Portland, amazing band featuring members of the wonderful band you've heard here on the episode a bunch of times, Dirty Kid Discount. We're going to be playing with, I mean, honestly, All the way through California and into the Southwest, we're playing with incredible bands. Rats in the Wall is playing some shows. Nacho from Corrupted Youth booked our show in California, in LA, so I'm sure we're going to be playing with some bands that are absolutely phenomenal down there. We're playing with Days and Days. When we're in Texas, we're doing 5 days with my dear friends at Days and Days, and I cannot wait to see them. I'm literally on the edge of my seat in excitement for this tour. So if you're in any of these places, make sure you carve out some time, check out our Skullcaster page, and give us a like, because we only have like a very sparse number, because we just changed our name from our old name to our new name, and not a lot of likes yet on Facebook. So go to Facebook, give us a like, check out the tour, hook up with us at a show, spread the word about our new album. I would appreciate all that. Or if you hate it, let me know you hate it too. You know, either way, let me know what's up. And hopefully we'll see you soon. Either way, I guess I hope I see you soon. I don't care. I'm still down to meet some haters. Let's fucking talk it over, dudes. Or whatever. But that's not what we're going to be talking about in the episode. We're going to play in some tunes from those throughout the episode. From the bands on the tour and from the album itself. But we're not going to be talking about that. Jane is here and we're going to be talking about Jane's life. She leads a very unusual, very incredible life here in New York State. So we're going to be talking about that. We'll start off talking a little bit about Trashy, what they're up to lately and what they have coming up. But we're going to cut right to Jane's personal life real quick. Jane left New York City, didn't leave the punk scene, didn't leave what she's doing here, but she moved upstate a little bit to the Hudson Valley, and she's working on a farm. So we're going to talk to her about that transition, and I'm familiar a little bit with farm life, and I'm fascinated by people who make that decision. I think it is a difficult one to make, and I'm really appreciative of it. And so we're going to talk to her about that perspective shift, what she does on the farm, what they're doing up there, what she digs about it, and maybe how you can get involved if you want to get involved in that. I personally don't want to because nature is disgusting and covered in dirt, and I prefer my dirt to be very, very clean, and I prefer to have concrete involved. That's just me. I could be wrong. You know, we're going to get some perspective shift. I think Jane is going to twist our head around it, and hopefully we'll better understand the farm life at the end of this episode. The punk farm life. Not just farm life, punk farms. Farm punks. We're going to up the farm punks here on this episode. And in the second half, we're going to talk about something that I deeply need my perspective shifted about. I don't know if you've heard this podcast before, but if you've heard it before, you've probably heard me be wrong once or twice. And I think I have an inclination, just because everybody I know who's into what we're going to talk about in the second half of the episode is a good person, and I don't really dig it, I deeply have the sense that I'm probably going to make a fucking ass out of myself talking about this topic. That's never stopped us before, so why should it stop us now? On the second half of the episode, we're going to talk about roller derby. I can't even say the name. The name sounds so dumb. Roller derby. I don't know. I don't really know what it is, but I don't like it. We're going to talk about it. My wonderful wife, Christine, she likes roller derby, and she keeps trying to get me to watch this movie with, I don't really know. Is Ellen something? Ellen Page, I think, is in it. I don't get it, but I'm an ignorant piece of shit. So hopefully Jane's going to give us some perspective on what exactly is roller derby and why so many punks are into it and why I am endlessly wrong about everything, including this particular one involving roller derby. So Jane is going to break it down for us. We're going to see if there is anything good to be held up in roller derby and how we can all get down with it if that is what we should be doing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'll talk Jane out of roller derby. Maybe that actually kind of sounds fucked up. She's like really passionate and cares about it a lot. So, okay, well, you know what? I'll have to tread lightly. I'll have to be careful not to bat this thing that she's passionate about out of her hands if I am proven to be correct and roller derby is lame. We're going to find out. But you'll have to hear it on the second part of the episode, which we will get to in a little bit. But before we even start the discussion, we need to do a couple thank yous. First and foremost, before the episode begins and before I start smashing people's dreams with my ignorance, I want to say thank you to Jane again for making the trek all the way from the farm to come over to the studio and do this episode again. I am super happy you're here, as I've said. And I think that the fans of the show, the people who listen to the show, are going to be super happy to have your perspective. So thank you very much, Jane. Thank you not only for coming on the episode, but for making all the incredible music you do in Trashy. I love that band so much. We're going to talk about a little bit more, but again, you can go get more tunes from Jane by going to trashypunks.bandcamp.com and checking out all the wonderful stuff she does. She's an incredible drummer and an incredible person. That's not normal. Usually drummers are not good. And all torn up, I'm very lucky to have a wonderful drummer who's a good person. And some of the other bands, I have drummers who are good people. But most of them, I don't. And Jane is a rare breed because she's a good person and a good drummer. So very unusual pairing. Anyway, thank you, Jane. I also want to say thank you to Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for airing Dispatch from the Underground every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. You can go over there and check out all the wonderful programming they have going on over there. They're doing an incredible job, and I love being part of their community. Thank you, Tommy Unit. We're on right after Tommy Unit's show, so listen to Tommy Unit fucking break down some great tunes, and then check out Dispatches at 11 p.m. realpunkradio.com. But if you're not free on Wednesday night, you can always get Dispatches on our website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com. We will talk more about all the wonderful things you can do with Dispatches at the end of the episode. We'll talk a little bit more about the tour we have coming up and some other things going on at the end of the episode. So make sure you stick around through all the wonderful things we're going to do. But let's get to all the wonderful things right now. We're going to listen to some tunes. We've got a very special one to begin the episode. And then we're going to get to Jane from Trashy. Let's do it. Get down. I want to start this episode off with something very special. My band Skullcaster just released our first album. We're going to be doing a West Coast tour December 9th through like mid-December, you know, like to the 20-somethings, to right around Christmas time. We're going to play with a bunch of great bands, as I mentioned earlier in the episode, but you haven't heard this band yet. Because we've been waiting to release this album, we're ready to do it. This album is called Shirime. The band is called Skullcaster. The song we're going to listen to is called Riot City. And like I said, you can get our tunes on our Bandcamp page, skullcasternyc.bandcamp.com. All of our tunes pared down are on there, but we have special extended versions that we're going to be selling on tour in our CD. So make sure if you dig these tunes, you get the special extended versions. They have some special things in there. I think everyone's going to dig them. We worked really hard to make sure that there were two versions, a free version that people could dig if that was their situation, because we're new, people don't know us. But also we got something extra special in the CD, so make sure you check that out. Anyway, let's get right to it. Here is Skullcaster from right here in New York City with Riot City. Get down.
No one is safe from rock and roll.
System.
Hey, what's up, Jane?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going with you?
It is
Who
good.
Gives a shit? No one gives a shit about how it's going. People listen to the show all the time. They know I'm miserable.
I care.
I'm sitting here with Jane from Trashy, one of the most incredible bands here in Brooklyn, New York.
What's up?
And yeah, we're gonna talk a bunch of shit. But first things first, I want to know what's up with Trashy. What's going on?
So Trashy's good. We actually just played a show last night. We played at Cobra Club with a band called Nepotism that was touring.
Oh, that's a funny name.
From, I think, North Carolina. Yeah. And they're really cool. They were like this, like, hip-hop kind of like punk mashup thing. Yeah, it was really cool.
Al doesn't even tell me about I'm fucking playing another band with Al.
I know.
And he doesn't even tell me this stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
That like, sounds great. I would have totally come to that.
Yeah, it was really fun. Sister Munch played. Sister Munch always fucking kills it.
People who don't know, Sister Munch, we played him on the show a few times, but it's like great vegan hardcore. I don't know if they all identify as vegan, but that's like their thing, right? They're that's part of their deal.
Yeah, I think so.
It's fucking really good stuff. Sister Munch, Nepotism.
Nepotism.
That's a pretty fucking cool name. I kind of dig that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So Trashy's good. You guys are going to be putting out a new record anytime soon or what?
Yeah, we're working on it. We're currently working on like writing some new tunes. We just put a new tune like into our full like, you know, live rotation that we're playing called Drop It. That's like pretty good. It's got this cool like ska.
Oh God, like, that sounds terrible.
It's got like a ska section. Yeah, no. I know that you hate ska, but I don't know. I think you secretly like it.
Okay,
but
I mean, maybe it's, you know, when it's like mashed up with some other stuff, it's sometimes pretty good. Especially when it's like, you guys are obviously making fun of ska a little bit. If it's called Drop It.
Right. Instead of pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up.
Well, the lyrics are pick up the ball when I drop it. So it's picking up, picking it up and dropping it at the same time. You know.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Oh, yeah. that's pretty good. You guys write so much smart stuff.
Hey, we work. We try. We're not very smart people, but we write smart songs.
Oh, geez. That's objectively not true. I know all of you very well. I know you're super smart people. But your teens are always so thoughtful. When you're writing, first of all, okay, we're going to get to some other stuff in a second, but when you're writing tunes, do you care what's being written about? Like, do you all discuss it? Cause in All Torn Up, you know, I feel like we're both in a similar place. Like we are passionate about the ideas in all the bands.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you all are too. Are you all involved in it? Or is it just like some person's like, I want the song to be about this. And then someone writes it.
Yeah, it's like it's a collaborative effort. I most of the tunes that we've been playing recently, Al is kind of like the mastermind behind the lyrics. Al is a great lyricist, and he'll come up with this kind of like concept and idea. He'll show up with lyrics and like a really like a form for the song, and then like as the band comes to the song, we all kind of like add things and work on like adding sections and form and really finishing the song out from like a rough idea to like a more like complete tune, and different like thematic things and stuff like that to really make it
so you do you guys song. Do talk about it.
Yeah, we do. We definitely do.
I wish I could get my bands to fucking actually like really put their thoughts into it, but I know y'all are passionate about that stuff. Let me ask you something else you're passionate about.
Sure.
I did not prep Jane for this, so this is coming at her off the cuff. She's not gonna be happy about this. I heard you hate Katy Perry.
That I hate Katy Perry?
Is that true? No, you like Katy Perry a lot.
I like Katy Perry, but Al recently wanted us to cover yes, one of her songs.
Yes.
And it was so bad.
Is this not, we should not talk about it? Because I want to.
No, we could talk about
it. I want to hear it.
We could talk about it. The song was so bad. And
what song was it? You know? You don't even know.
Oh, God. It was called Save as Draft.
That's a dumbass fucking name.
And
man,
it's about writing an email that like says all the things that you want to like say when you really like want to like burn somebody.
Oh, okay.
And then instead of sending it, you save as draft.
That's
the poetry there is just just Katy Perry. She's a Renaissance woman.
But you're opposed to the song. You don't want to do it because Trashy did two covers of that Justin Bieber tune.
We did,
and I fucking loved them.
Yeah, it was fun.
They
were
both amazing.
Like, and that was just like me and Al both like okay. We both also really love shitty music in a lot of ways.
Hence the ska. I get it.
Yeah, no,
it's very
fine.
Tautologically tight here. But making sense.
But we both were like, wouldn't it be like cool if we just each kind of like had like a cover off?
Yeah.
So each of those songs, each one of us played all the parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So on Al's tune, he arranged and played everything on that tune. And on my tune, I arranged and played everything on that tune, too. And it wasn't really like a Trashy project. It was more like an Al and Jane project. We just like did it for fun.
Yeah. Well, it should be. It's a Trashy song as far as I'm considered. And since Al's not here and you are here, I will unequivocally say yours was better.
That's, you know, I... that's really the real reason why we did it, was to find out who's better.
Yep.
Because we're both very competitive, and since Joey Steele said it, I think that it goes down in history as mine is better.
Yeah, at least until Al's in the same room as me, and then I very, very possibly could change my tune on that.
That's fair.
He's not here. The fucking tune's great. I loved both of them, though. Mm-hmm. They were amazing.
It was fun.
You never play them live, though.
Oh, we never play them live.
It's really frustrating that you don't play that much. We just did Cop Out, which I'm in with Al. Al's a mutual bandmate of Jane and mine. He's in Trashy, and he's also in Cop Out with me. And we just did a cover of Adele's Water Under the Bridge.
Oh, really?
I love Adele.
I heard that you love Adele.
I really only like 25, though. I did not really know who she was until that second album.
Are those names of albums?
Yeah, the second album.
I like Adele, but I don't know the names of her albums. Nor do I know the names of Katy Perry's albums, but don't have to think about it pop music, like, that's fine. I think she's a bit of a problematic person in a lot of ways.
Katy Perry or
Katy
Adele?
Perry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm like, don't talk shit about Adele. This interview's over.
Adele is an angel. Adele is an angel. Yeah. She's perfect in every way.
When she accepts my letters, it's a decent possibility that I'm getting divorced and married to Adele. But that's, you know, that's in the future. Who knows what that holds.
Fair enough.
But when we did this cover, Al's like, oh, yeah, we'll try to do this cover of this Katy Perry tune in Trashy, and Jane shit all over it. And I'm like, oh, no. And then I knew as soon as it came out of Al's mouth, Kate, who also is a drummer in Cop Out, she's like, oh, we should do it. And I'm like, ugh. If you played Katy Perry in like a lineup of songs, I would have no idea who it is.
That's fair.
I've never heard a Katy Perry song. The girl kissing one.
Oh yeah, that was her.
Yeah.
That was like her first one that stirred things up.
I don't think she did any other songs. I think that was the only song she ever made.
Okay. Okay. Just say that maybe they like got enough like audio data and just like all of Katy Perry's tunes are now done by robots.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. Pretty much Gucci Mane's the same thing. He just fucking auto-tunes that shit and it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we could talk about Katy Perry and obviously Adele all day, but I want to talk a little bit about what you are personally doing lately.
Sure.
So you moved out of New York City.
I did. I made the big exodus.
And everybody and their fucking cousin moves into New York City. Why would you leave this dump or glorious place or whatever it is?
I mean, I just got tired of being packed in a sardine car with a million other horrible people.
Yeah. You talking about the trains or are you talking about your apartment?
Yeah, both. No, mostly the trains. I love the city. I love the city a lot. And I came to the city, first of all, I'm a trans woman, I'm transsexual, and I moved to the city from Kansas.
Oh, I didn't know you were from Kansas.
I'm from Kansas, so...
Small town Kansas or like Kansas City?
Oh, small town Kansas.
Fuck.
Small fucking town Kansas, and, you know, and then I went to college in a slightly like bigger town, came out as trans and transitioned, and being trans in Kansas fucking sucks. It really sucks.
I've been in Kansas. Being in Kansas might also suck in general.
It really does. Yeah. It really does.
For any thoughtful person, no matter what their background, I think it's pretty ruthless.
Yeah, and it's just miles and miles of nothing and cows.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so like it's a place where you can't really escape feeling alone in a lot of ways, especially when you're trans, especially when you're queer. And so I like applied for a job with AmeriCorps when I was in college, and they were like, hey, you want to come to New York? And I was like, yeah, fuck it.
Wow.
Like, I'm going to come to New York. And it really just like needed to make that jump, like for myself personally, to like meet other trans folks, meet other queer folks, and like work to develop some kind of community. Like it was at a point where I really just like needed other people who were like understanding and supportive. And, you know, came here, met a lot of people. I met Al, you know.
You started an amazing community here. You have a huge community of folks around. Yeah, you guys are at the center of it. It's amazing.
And we, you know, started playing in some great bands. And
you played drums, obviously, in Kansas.
I did. Yeah. And I played in a couple bands out there. But, you know, it's definitely obviously nothing like the music scene here. Like,
where
we played
could
a couple
you go
shows
with it? Yeah.
Kansas City, but like,
the
you
best
know.
You could do is leave quickly with the band. Yeah, sure.
Right.
I got it.
And, so yeah, like the city has given me like a lot of things, but at a certain point, it just really got to feel really inescapable and just like kind of oppressive. Mm. And I really don't.
So it sort of turned in its opposite a bit.
It really did. You know, in Kansas, there was like this inescapable lonely. And then in New York, it was like this inescapable constantly around fucking everybody. Mm-hmm. And it just, and, you know, it's really hard to get, to leave the city. You know, like everything is trains. And if you don't have a car, like it's really hard to get out. And just that, that feeling of it being like inescapable, just really kind of like started to get to me. And, when I, after I started like backpacking and stuff, I really started exploring the Hudson Valley and really, getting more back to like the, you know, I grew up on a farm. And I always really liked working on a farm. I just didn't like Kansas.
Yeah, yeah.
And so so started kind of like getting back to these like roots of like, you know, working with the land and working with soil and the ideas of like growing food and just being like reconnected like with nature. And the Hudson Valley is a really beautiful place that...
It is really nice there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. There's water, there's mountains. It's really beautiful.
And there's nice people. It's not just, it's not like Kansas. You know, it's not like there's not like there's not nice people somewhere in Kansas. I've never met them, but I'm sure they're there. But it is like few and far between. They're very spread out. But in you know, in the Hudson Valley, there's a lot of people around. There's still people everywhere.
Totally. Yeah. And one of the things I like about it is that it's still close to the city. Mm. So, you know, I still like play in my bands. I still skate roller derby, like all these things. But it's... I'm more in love with the city when I'm in a constant state of leaving it. So,
My partner, too, also Christine, my partner, always feels like she needs to get out. I think that's just the element of someone conscious and clear-headed. They just feel like they need to go somewhere else because the city is fucking insane.
It really is.
It really does make you treat people horribly because there's no other way to do it. Like, if you're driving a car in New York City, here's a little lesson for everybody on how horrible you'd be in New York City. You'd be driving a car... And, like, you know you shouldn't go because it's just, like, there's not enough space for you to fit. But you know if you don't go, you will never get into this next – like, you will never move forward.
Right. And so someone else will go.
Exactly. Someone's going to go around you somehow. Like, they're going to pull into traffic.
They're going to figure it out.
It's going – that is going to happen 100%.
Totally.
So you have to fucking move forward into this spot that you can't fit in, that you know you're a dickhead if you go into.
Right.
But you have to. And that's the entire experience of living in New York, is that you have to move forward into that space even though you're you know you're a piece of shit to do it.
Totally. Yeah. And that just like really, for me, starts to eat away at me like after a while. And
I'm not a good person. I don't feel good about myself. Yeah.
Nor should you.
Yeah, I know.
JK.
Yeah, I know. No, 100%.
But yeah, just kind of like looking for other opportunities, looking for a different place to live. You know, I think that the city gave me the things that I needed at the time, and now I'm looking for a place that's a little bit more like self-focused.
So you're on, I'm curious, there's so much to talk about, but I want to talk about the farm. We only have a couple minutes left. And I want to talk about the farm. When I was in college, I also worked for AmeriCorps, and worked on a farm for years in Cleveland, where I'm from. But it was like an urban farm. It was like low key, you know, it was like inner city farm. We took kids from the inner city and like trained them how to farm and stuff. So it wasn't like sprawling acres of farmage. There was like maybe two city blocks full of farm. But you're on like a proper, like what kind of farm is it? Like orchard farm? Like, is it fucking that size?
Well, it's not an orchard. Cause we don't have like apple trees.
Yeah. Hudson Valley does have a lot of orchards though, right?
Oh yeah. There's a lot of orchards up there. Yeah. But the farm is about, it's over 1,000 acres.
That number doesn't. Can you put that in blocks for me? Because I don't know.
No, I really can't. Like, even for me, it's like I can't. Like, my family's farm in Kansas was like, you know, like 400 acres. So this is like three times bigger than what that was.
So basically, it's bigger than Manhattan.
I don't know about that.
Possibly.
We
don't know.
Possible, but probably not.
Yeah, we're not signed. It could be. Yeah. So you're on a huge
farm.
It's
definitely like probably the size of like. Like maybe Central Park.
Wow, that's huge.
It's really big.
Okay, so
I mean, I don't know how big Central Park is. I'm not a scientist, but don't look that number up. Yeah. But just take my word for it. It's the size of Central Park.
It's fucking huge.
It's fucking huge.
Yeah, and it's massive. But what are you doing there? Like,
yeah. So the farm was originally the farm was a conventional sweet corn farm, and it was actually on an episode of The Daily Show at one point in time. So if you go back and like look at that, you can find from the days when it was like a conventional sweet corn farm. But anyways, or maybe it's Colbert Report. I don't know. Regardless, the original farmer was like looking to kind of like make his exit from farming, and right now, especially in the Hudson Valley, there's a lot of farmers who are looking to like get out of farming, looking to retire, but they don't have like really family or kids to, like, pass the farm down to, because that idea of the family farm has, in a lot of ways, really become outdated. So he actually turned the farm over to a nonprofit. So now it's called the Hudson Valley Farm Hub, and it is a nonprofit organization. And the hub has since transitioned that land from being a conventional corn farm to being an organic and biodynamic farm. And currently we're farming about 30 acres of vegetables. And we have about somewhere about 90 acres that we use for vegetable production land, and we rotate about 30 acres every year. So that 1 year we're using land in production, and the next year we're kind of like letting it recover.
Oh yeah, sure. Again, letting nutrients and minerals replenish and such.
Right. And
yeah,
that's like a really cool part of the farm, is we use these practices of biodynamics and organic farming that really focus on, instead of like bringing in a lot of materials and bringing in a lot of like nutrients, we like grow our own nutrients. So it's a lot about like farming like with nature and with plants, and trying to like work with nature instead of trying to make nature work for you, which to me is really important.
That's really smart and really hard to do when you're a for-profit entity, because yes, you're just being pushed by, you know, taxes and lands and fucking rising prices. It's really tough. What are you doing on the farm? Like, on a daily basis, everybody on the farm is always doing everything, I guess. It's like no one's specializing in anything.
Well, so I'm very fortunate. I got chosen for this program called the Pro Farmer Training Program. And like what it is it's a program where they take people who young farmers who have a background in agriculture, who've been farming for a number of years, who want to basically like have their own kind of like farming operation, but need kind of like a little bit more experience in the region and with the different like practices of organic farming. Mm-hmm. So like my family was conventional corn, wheat, soybeans farming in Kansas. It's very different from growing organic vegetables in the Hudson Valley. And so I really needed to like gain a lot of those skills. So it's like both an educational and like a working thing. So we have a kind of like a teacher boss, and his name is Jean-Paul Cortens, and he ran Roxbury Farm, which is a really kind of like really progressive farm in Kinderhook, New York, that really kind of like redefined the whole like CSA movement. And so he's been like teaching us a lot of things about like growing, but it's very hands-on. So it's like we go out and we learn about something and then we do it. So we're every day, like right now we're winding up the end of our season, but we do everything from planting, the cultivating, the harvesting, all that stuff.
I mean, I'm sure coming from Kansas, your family's probably doing like industrial stuff, like heavier shit, like really heavy machinery. Are you guys, you having to do like heavy machinery stuff, or are you like double digging trenches yourself? Like,
it's a little bit of both. It's kind of like a mid-scale farm. So there's really a mixture. And with organic farming, there's a lot of stuff that you can't do by machine, but we're at a large enough scale, and like, we're at a large enough scale that we do a lot of like stuff through mechanized work and a lot of like tractor driving and things like that. And trying to, but also when you're producing stuff at like a large enough scale, you know, you're trying to make like a larger impact, but we also try to think about what's the responsible way to do that, and ways of like maintaining the soil and using tractors like as little as needed, really. So it's a mixture of both those things. Like the other day we were just out hand weeding a shit ton of weeds and some corn that we we've been like growing.
Fucking flashbacks, bad days, dude.
Hand weeding, man. It's like an exercise in futility.
I hate everyone hates weeding.
It's the worst.
No one likes it because you know it's not going anywhere, and you got to keep it doing it. But the worst to me, and this is maybe just my experience, it was always harvesting or pruning or dealing with the onions, dude. Or
with onions
or the garlic. Like,
garlic, man. Pulling that garlic shit harvest out. Takes forever.
And like doing it for like 12 hours a day for like a week, and mm-hmm. you can't scrub it out. Like, it's there.
It's
those
in,
clothes
yeah,
are done.
They're done.
Yeah, you throw, burn it. Like, the end of that week, you just burn it.
Yeah, it's like if you ever worked at McDonald's, like, and you wore like a pair of pants to like work
but
that day.
McDonald's smells good.
I beg to differ. I'd rather smell like organic garlic than smell like McDonald's.
Oh, God, the onion. You know, garlic was bad, but like the goddamn onions, because I don't know, they just exude this smell.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, at least the onions, like, the garlic's encapsulated. But and it's exhausting, but the fucking onions, oh, yeah. Like the scallions, oh, it's brutal. I hate it.
And if you've never harvested garlic before, it's super labor intensive and it takes forever. And we grew about 2 acres of
come
just garlic.
On. That sounds like hell to
it
me.
It was fucking hell. Oh, it was, and dude. It, you know, you harvest it in the peak of the summer, so it's like 90 degrees outside, and
I'm actually getting sick. I'm actually going to throw up. So we got to wrap this up because I need to go to the bathroom. But I want to know, that's obviously the worst part about working on a farm. People who are interested in this stuff, I've worked on a farm. I don't know why you would still be interested in this stuff. It's personally exhausting and thankless and horrible. But I guess people like, someone likes nature. I'll pass. But if someone is interested in this, what would you tell them is the most like exhilarating, the best part about it? Like, if you had to boil it down to one thing that you're like, I can't get enough of this, what is it?
I mean, there's not just one thing. For me, it's about
feeling, I want one. Okay.
For me, it's about like being more connected, just kind of like, I guess, with the world. And this is a punk podcast and that sounds a little fucking hippie, but
yeah, dude, I'll cut it out. Don't
yeah,
worry.
No, like, edit that shit out. Yeah. It's fine. But really, like, in this day and age when we're like so removed from like where things come from, and especially like our food system and how things have gotten like really just like fucked over by capitalism, I think kind of like going back to a point of being self-sustaining and resilient outside of our main like capitalist structure, like, to me, that's what like farming and agriculture mm-hmm. holds, like, on a personal level. Being able to like grow your own food, to be able to grow food for other people, to me, that's the thing that's really important about it.
Ugh, you're winning me over with the fucking anti-capitalism and caring about people, Bart. But I just hate, nature's just so annoying.
Oh, nature's the fucking best, man.
I wish we could trade, like, we could do like a program where like someone wants to get in touch with nature, and then I could just stay the fuck out of touch with nature and be like, oh, cool, all right, well, then I will like stay inside in the concrete and like watch your TV, and then you can go outside and like enjoy the sunset and then watch the fucking ants like crawl up your leg and just like destroy whatever they're gonna do, whatever they're planning on doing. They're plotting something, obviously.
Well, I mean, when the end of the world comes, you know, when
I'll be dead.
Okay, fine. That's fine. You know, and that's like, maybe part of me was thinking like, if the fucking apocalypse hits, I definitely don't want to be in a city full of lobsters just trying to pull each other down into the pot. I want to like be in the mountains where I can run away.
Dude, if the apocalypse happens, everybody's gonna want me on their team, and they're just gonna fucking be throwing apples at me.
Just
probably, possibly.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. So I'm gonna be good.
You'll
dude.
Be fine.
I'll be fine. Or I'll be coming at the farm either way.
Joey still survives the apocalypse.
Can people, is there a place that people can go to like get down with farming? Like, is there like, do you know of anywhere that they can go to like, all right, they're in Kansas and they want to come out to New York and want to fucking, is there like a program that you could hook them up with or something?
Yeah, there's a program. Well, there's a thing called woofing, which
that's not real.
No, it really is. It's called called woofing.
That's amazing.
And I think it's like it's called working on organic farms.
Oh, okay.
And basically it's kind of like AmeriCorps for organic farms, where you go and you like work on a multitude of different kind of farms, and you know, they provide you with like housing and food and stuff like that. It doesn't pay much. But most farming doesn't. But it's a great way to kind of like see if this is a thing for you, where you can like do it for a summer or whatever, and then you know, come back to the city if it's like really not for you.
Yeah, give me a call if you're having trouble with that, and then I'll hook you up with like a day labor job or something.
Right,
no problem. All right, woofing. So check out woofing.
Yeah,
and fucking go work on a farm.
Do it.
Make sure you stay at least able to download podcasts. But I'm sure there's a way.
I listen to my podcast all the time while I'm hand weeding.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, then fine. Okay, sure. I thought my whole point about being against farmers, I thought you couldn't listen to the podcast. But no. Yeah.
You definitely listen to
the podcast. Go work on a farm, motherfuckers.
I have a tractor with Bluetooth in it. It's
what?
Fine. Yeah.
That's not real.
Touchscreen. Bluetooth. Yeah.
Touchscreen?
Touchscreen. Self-driving tractor.
There's
Bluetooth.
No fucking nature out there anymore. It's just one giant touchscreen. I'm fine with that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, get down.
That may be for you.
Get down. I mentioned this earlier, obviously, and Jane's been on the show before, and obviously we've played Trashy a lot on this show, but we're going to do another tune from them right now. This is Jane playing drums in the incredible New York City Brooklyn Transcore band, Trashy. Check it out. Get down. Since I was shitting on your livelihood unintentionally in the first part of the segment, let's just complete this cycle and let me just shit on your pastimes in the second part.
Yeah, on the hobbies too. No, it's like keep it going. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I want to keep up my image of being an asshole, and I feel like I'm doing a really good job.
Yeah, I'm here to foster that. You know, really.
No, I'm
point just, counterpoint.
I love the farming life. That was fucked up, but I don't get roller derby. I don't get it.
Okay,
so let's talk about this. First of all, I don't get the name roller derby.
Okay.
That's what it's called, right?
That's what it's called, roller derby.
Can you, for people who don't know what roller derby is, before I smear this activity, can you explain to people what roller derby is?
Sure.
All right, please.
So, okay, roller derby is a sport played mostly by women. There's also some co-ed teams and some male teams out there as well, but okay. It's played on an oval track.
So now I already sound like an asshole because, like, I didn't even know it was mostly played by women. I thought everyone played it. So now I just sound like a misogynist. Okay, cool. Great. So I'm just going to cut all this shit out.
Yeah, just cut it all out. It's totally fine. So
roller derby sounds great. Cool. I love this roller derby stuff.
Really
sounds really cool.
Empowering for women.
All right. I'll leave it. I'll leave my shame in the episode. All right.
So just to preface, just to start off, roller derby actually has a really huge DIY history around it. And it's really like women like started and ran and things like that. But so here, let me just explain what the sport is and how it's played. So it's played on an oval track. And each team fields four blockers and one jammer. Now, the jammer... And
everyone is on roller skates.
Everyone is on roller skates. Mm. Everyone is on quad roller skates. No fucking roller blades. None of that bullshit.
Oh, there. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. and everybody lines up on the track. There's like a starting line.
Okay.
And the two jammers line up behind the starting line, right? They're on opposing teams, and they each have a star on their helmet. That's how you know they're the jammers. And then the four blockers from each team, so that means there's eight blockers total,
okay.
Four from each team. And two jammers total, one from each team.
Okay.
So there's 10 people on the track at one time. So the jammers behind the start line, the blockers in front of the start line. The referees blow a whistle, and the game starts. Now, each game is divided up into two 30-minute halves.
And it's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of math in this.
There's a lot of math. It's sport,
okay,
you know?
Okay.
I know I'm speaking a language that you don't understand, Joey, with sports.
Math and sports. I'm math and sports. Here. Okay.
And then each half is broken into segments of play called a jam. And if you're familiar with football at all, a jam is like a down in football.
Okay.
Okay. So the whistle blows.
No, that doesn't help me, but I'm sure everybody else listening understands that fully.
Right. So the whistle blows and the jam starts. And when the whistle blows, the two jammers try to make their way through the pack of blockers.
Okay.
So you can imagine, like, it's really, it's a full contact sport.
It's like a quarterback, but there's no ball.
More like a running back.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're trying to maneuver, like, through this whole pack of women that's trying to just, like, knock them on the ground, hit them out of bounds, slow them down, get in their way, and stop them. The first jammer to make it past all of the players on the opposing team, she gets declared the lead jammer. Now, that'll be important later.
Okay.
But, okay. So for every person on the opposing team that a jammer passes, after her first pass, her team scores a point.
All right, so you got to pass one time around, and then you can make the points.
Right, so the first time through the pack establishes who is the lead jammer.
Okay.
After that, for every person on the opposing team that you pass, your team gets a point.
What happens to the other team? Is that jammer become a blocker then?
No. So
that person can
both,
still make
both
points.
Jammers can score.
Okay.
The difference, well, I'll explain the difference in a bit. Both jammers can score each time they pass a player on the opposing team. So the blockers are, in essence, playing both offense and defense at the same time.
All right, helping your teammate move forward and helping block the other person.
Right, okay. Right, exactly. So now the lead jammer is important because she gets to decide when the jam ends.
Mm.
So a jam can last a maximum of 2 minutes. There's like a play clock that starts, and a jam can only last a maximum of 2 minutes. Now, once you're the lead jammer, you get to decide when the jam stops by touching your hips. And after she touches her hips, the whistle will blow and the jam stops. Now, the reason why you want to do that. So here's what you want to do if you're a jammer. You want to get through the pack of blockers and be lead jammer. So you're lead jammer, and then you come around for your scoring pass, and you want to pass everybody on the opposing team. Now
But not to the point where the other jammer is starting to catch up.
Well, if you pass the other jammer, you also get a point for passing her.
Okay.
So you want to pass her as many times as you can. You just want to keep making laps around people if you can. But like once the opposing jammer gets out of the pack, and she comes around on her scoring pass, you want to touch your hips and end the jam so that she can't score any points.
Right.
So you're trying to score as many points as you can and control the flow of the game by ending the jam so that she can't score any points.
Okay. So
that's the basics of how the game is played.
So I'll start this off with the fact that this is not a game for me. This game is not intended for me. This game, it's a game for women who want to hit other women.
It was initially...
I don't know if I'm supposed to like this game, because this is about hitting women. It seems a little fucked up in the first place.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Women like to hit just as much as men do.
Yeah. I do like the idea that it's aggressive. I think that that's wonderful,
right?
To make aggression less macho.
Totally.
Like, it doesn't have to be a macho thing. It just happens that that's how it is.
Right.
But there's no reason for that to be. Like, it is a game for women to accept that. That's great. I do think that's wonderful. I guess I didn't really understand that there was as much anger in this game as possible. I thought it was about roller skates, which I think are ridiculous.
Uh-huh. That's fine. Roller skates are a little ridiculous, but
roller skates are ridiculous.
They're pretty awesome.
I mean, the whole hip thing we'll come back to in a second. That's ridiculous. We'll talk about that in a minute.
This is coming from somebody who's never seen it played.
No, yeah, I've never seen it played.
Never seen it played.
I think maybe when I was a kid,
uh-huh,
there was roller derby on TV.
So Derby initially started in like it was pretty big during the 70s, and it was also like for a time it was co-ed and it was played on a bank track, and then it kind of like fell by the wayside, just kind of like turned into history. And then in 2005, a group of women in Texas revamped the sport into flat track roller derby, and they basically completely like recreated the sport out of nothing. And it started off like pro wrestling. Like, it was all like very kind of like scripted and like,
oh really?
And there was like fake fights.
That
and...
sounds like fun. I'm into that one. So no real competition. That's cool. I like
right,
it.
Yeah, right. Cool. And then from there, and then teams just kind of, and once they made it a flat track sport, it really made it more accessible to other people, because before you needed a bank track, and which meant you had to build one, you had to store it somewhere. And once they made it a flat track, all you needed was a wide open space and like a roll of duct tape, and you could set up a track and play. And so since that time, it has really evolved into a legit competitive sport. Nothing is scripted about it. It's also the fastest growing sport in the world.
Oh, no shit.
No shit. There are teams, there are many, 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 many teams in the United States, many in like each state. I think Jersey has like 10 teams in Jersey because no one there can get along. So they all like branch off and like start their own fucking team.
I think when I was a kid, there was roller derby on TV. I think I remember seeing it, and that's why I thought it was co-ed, because there was like male and female roller derby on
TV. There used to be a thing called roller sports that was played on a figure eight track, and there was like an alligator pit.
It was ramped, though, like pitched like a racetrack. I remember that, and I didn't understand what I was watching at the time, obviously, because I didn't know there were rules. I thought it was just people like riding around a rink, but then they got to bump into each other. I thought it was like bumper fucking cars, but with roller skates.
Well, if it was roller sports that you're thinking of, it was similar to derby, but had like different rules. Yeah. It was on like this figure eight track, and there was an alligator pit, and like
alligator pit. I definitely would have been way more into that if there was alligators.
Yeah, and it was a lot more like pro wrestling again. Oh yeah, you're into pro wrestling.
I think
right?
That's actually probably why I watched it. Yeah, it must have been like after wrestling.
Probably so.
When I was a kid, I wasn't. Okay, so first of all, here's my problem.
Okay,
this sounds great. This sounds way better than I thought it was going to be.
Sure.
I love the aggression. I love that there's women who are encouraging other women to be aggressive.
Totally.
Awesome.
The best.
And it's like a way for dudes to watch a sport where women are dominant.
Right.
And there's no real place for them, which is awesome as well. I'm into that. And also to watch women be aggressive.
Right.
So like, you know, so they can get more used to this in society. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm super into it. I'll watch roller derby. But I do think the name is fucking dumb.
Okay.
Derby. Like, I thought it was like, okay, we have like literally just turned women into cattle now, and they're literally just riding around. Like, it was like Kentucky Derby. I thought it was like Kentucky Derby, so now it was women. We just took women and made them into
horses.
Well,
derby just is like a term used for different kinds of races.
Yeah, that's
so
a
like there's
name.
A demolition derby.
Yeah, also
there's a Pinewood Derby. Right? There's all kind like derby comes from like where how the sport started.
Oh, okay.
So the sport initially got started as being these crazy endurance races that were co-ed, and they were started like in the 50s, and people would they would just see who could skate the longest.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. Yeah. Right. I thought a roller derby was just like going around a track. That's what I thought a derby was, like just a race and like women are on roller skates racing.
Right, which is how it got started.
Like horses.
And then, of course, people got the great idea to hit each other.
Love it.
And
would have loved to have been in that first one.
And there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If we could come up with another name, what can we call it? You don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to come up with a different name. I like the name roller derby.
Like roller wrestling. That's
roller
great.
Roller derby. But okay. It's not wrestling.
But it's not really derby either, though.
But it really is, because if you think about it, like, you're really racing the other jammer around the track. Unlike most sports where like the concept of scoring is tied to a ball or an end zone, really in derby, like, you're trying to make it around the track like faster. So it kind of like
race.
Combines a race with kind of like a full contact sport like football. So it really is a derby.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Well, as people who listen to the podcast occasionally hear, I'm again wrong. Again, pass judgment on something I knew almost nothing about and look like a fucking asshole. So well, yeah, it's another day in paradise. That's great.
I'm happy to help.
I know roller derby is a big thing. Where can people go to watch it? Because my partner Christine is always trying to get me to watch it, and now she's not going to listen to this episode. So I'm like, oh, fine, I'll check it out.
Right.
And then I actually want to go see one. So
this
is great for me. Where can people go check it out? If they're in Brooklyn or if they're someplace else, there's a lot of teams. There's places to go watch it?
Oh, yeah, totally. So Dudes can go watch. There's also men's roller derby, which you can go watch if you want to.
Does not sound interesting. Other guys being aggressive again. I feel like they've got
just
that
another
covered.
Excuse for dudes to hit each other again.
Well, that's when you put it like that again. You got away with words, Jane.
I do. Okay, so I skate for Gotham Girls Roller Derby,
which is the big one here in New York,
which is the number one league in the nation.
Oh shit. Oh man, you were so nice. I was talking shit, and now don't tell any of your teammates to this.
No, it's okay. I also skate for the Brooklyn Bombshells, who we actually just won the championship.
When?
Let's see. When it was last month. Yeah, wow. we skated in the championship against the Queens of Pain, and we won by 1 point.
Wow.
It was a tiebreaker.
Are you a jammer or a blocker?
I'm a blocker. Okay. I started off as a jammer, and then I dislocated my shoulder a few times, and like my body just can't deal with it.
Jamming is more dangerous because everyone's trying to hit
Everyone's trying to kill you, constantly trying to kill you. So I'm a blocker now. I get to just like, you know, slow down and hit bitches, which is fun. Which is fun. It's fun to like be the one like handing out the abuse nowadays.
That's pretty funny.
But so I skate for the Brooklyn Bombshells. If you're in New York, check out Gotham Girls Roller Derby. Our home season just ended, but our travel teams, our all-stars, are kind of in the heat of postseason play. So there's a thing called the Women's Flat Track Derby Association, which is an international like roller derby association. And our all-stars are currently ranked number 2 because we lost the championship last year. But we're coming back for it hard this year.
That's serious. It's a serious league.
Yeah, they just had, playoffs in Sweden because it's all over the world.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a big thing. Hmm. So our all-stars are coming into championships. I think it'll be in November. So the main season is coming to an end, but if you want to watch some cool postseason roller derby play, it streams online. You can go to WFTDA.TV.
WFTDA.TV.
Mm-hmm. And you can watch roller derby there. Like I said, it's like all over the country. So if you're in any kind of like city or metropolitan area, chances are very good that there is a roller derby league in your city, and you should check them out and support them because it's all volunteer. We don't get paid any money to play roller derby. Whenever we put on bouts, we do the work. It's very DIY. They're all women owned, women ran. Well, not really owned. No one owns the league, but they're all women ran. Women started.
Women skated.
Yeah.
That's fine.
All those things. I'm sorry. That's my bad.
Cool. That's fucking amazing. So, and if people do want to check it out and they don't have anything around them, they could probably just, it's DIY. Fucking start one yourself.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome.
Totally.
Jane, I'm going to edit all this out so that I sound like I was pro.
That's cool. That's cool.
Roller derby from the beginning. Yeah, so no, totally. When you hear this later, I'm just going to cut this up too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But anyway, cool. Well, Jane, great. awesome. That sounds great. And so I'm sure just like holler at us where you're, when you have some more games.
Yeah, the main season will be starting up. They're called bouts.
Bouts, okay.
Bouts. So the next year's season will be starting up probably in like March.
March, okay, cool. Yeah. So stay tuned to Dispatches, and we'll try to post those up on our Facebook. Or you can, I'm sure, maybe does Trashy ever announce the games?
No, but my bandmates were at the championship to watch.
Maybe
we
should start posting them on Trashy's thing so then we can fucking like interconnect
these. All right, also, if you go to GothamGirlsRollerDerby.com, that will have all of our like season information. If you're interested in trying out for roller derby,
awesome.
Like it's got information on how to get started in the sport. It's got information on all of the players in the league. Everything you want to know about Gotham Girls is online. So
cool. Yeah. Get down with it, everybody. As I said earlier, my band Skullcaster is going to be doing an incredible tour. We're going to be doing 5 days in Texas with this wonderful band. They are amazing people. They're amazing musicians, and I'm so proud that they're getting all the respect that they deserve. I love them all very, very much. It feels like family. I know I say that. They might not want me to say that, but it does. It feels like family when I think about them, when I talk about them, or when I listen to their music, which is what I do constantly because I love their music so much. So here is one of my favorite tunes from Days and Days. And maybe we're going to do a little something special with it, possibly when we're in Texas. We'll see if they are offended by the prospect of it. But here's Goodbye Lulu from their first album, Rogue Taxidermy. Here's Days and Days. Goodbye Lulu. Get down.
Left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu. Won't be seeing you again. You left him on a freight train. You ain't never going back. Started hanging out at punk shows and you got it in your head to leave him on a freight train, cause that's what the cool kids did. Now you got some shitty sticking folks and hepatitis C. Smell like an unwiped asshole and your socks stick to your feet. Goodbye, Lulu. Won't be seeing you again. Stole your pack and boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu. Won't be seeing you again. You left him on a freight train. You ain't never going back. Woo! For breakfast and you're shooting up at lunch. All cooked up in a Walmart screaming, I don't give a fuck! Your dog is fucking starving, but you spend a bill on booze. Your parents bought you Nikes, you prefer some tattered boots. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your pack and boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back. Woo! Just as good. Fuck a restaurant, there's a dumpster. Let's see what you can fly inside. It's like Christmas every day, except the gifts are filled with blood. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your bag and boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. Stole your bag and boots and bibs and left you on the tracks. Goodbye, Lulu, won't be seeing you again. You left home on a freight train, you ain't never going back.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you very much to Jane for, again, making this trip down to the studio. I know she's coming from far away from the farm, and I really appreciate her making this trip out here to do the show. It means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to everybody else out there. I think Jane's got a really unique perspective and is very willing to tell me again and again and again why my very limited, very ignorant, very one-sided, short-sighted perspective is wrong. And I really appreciate that, Jane. So that's our whole point here on Dispatches, is to try and listen to people we don't agree with to hopefully become better people, because we probably couldn't get any worse than we've been raised to be. So I guess we're making little baby steps. And Jane, you helped us take some big baby steps today. I really appreciate that. So thank you very much, not only for being on the show, but making the incredible music you make in Trashy. I love those tunes. Hope y'all dug it too. Again, y'all can get more Trashy by going to trashypunks.bandcamp.com. Checking out all the tunes they got there. Throw them a couple bucks and get down with their stuff. I also played some tunes from my new band, or played a tune from my new band, Skullcaster. Again, we're going to be on tour all through the West Coast and down into Texas in December, going all the way up to around Christmas. And we're going to be playing with a bunch of incredible bands. So make sure you, if you are in any of the places that we're playing, or you're near, or if you can feasibly like transport yourself in some way or other to these shows, you should get there. Not only to see us, I think you're really going to dig our shit. But not only to see us, but also to see the other incredible bands we're playing with. Everyone, every show we're playing has just got a ton of super good bands. So check it out. And again, Days and Days played on this show today, and we're going to be playing 5 days with them in Texas. So tour around, hang out with us, come tell us how much you hate or love Dispatches on the tour. I love hearing that shit, no matter what side it comes down on. Leave the knife at home. At least don't stab me with it. And obviously, you know, as per last discussion, leave the automatic weapons at home as well. Anyway, that's going to be happening. We have a bunch of stuff going on. Please stay in touch with us. The best way to do that is on Facebook. search for Dispatches from the Underground on Facebook. Message us there. That's the easiest way to get in contact with us. You can email us as well, dftunderground@gmail.com. But honestly, the best way to do it is on Facebook. So sign up for a Facebook account if you don't fucking have one, and then hit us up there or message us on email, whatever. You can always get the episode for free by going to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. You can hit the subscribe button to make sure you do not miss one. We should have episodes up every 2 weeks. You know, sometimes we miss dates, so if you do the subscription button, you won't miss any if we have any surprise episodes coming at you. I strongly suggest that. And again, it's free, so, you know, no problem on your end. If you do that, if you're subscribed, if you're listening to this, and you're in a position to stop what you're doing, and please go to iTunes and rate us, obviously with the highest rating possible, but also leave a review. It seems stupid. Maybe it is, but it does help people find us and people read that shit. So I really appreciate if you do like what we're doing, take 2 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever and write a review and leave some stars. It helps us a lot. And if you're super into it, you could also post these episodes on your Facebook feed. I really appreciate it. Anyway, there's also a donation thing if you have money. If you're like a millionaire and you have tons of time and tons of money, do the review thing and then also like donate to us a bunch of money. Whatever. The reviews are as important as the money or more, whatever. Yeah, we'll see you all very soon. We've got a bunch of shows coming up. Stay in touch. Check us out on Facebook, and you'll know all of the information about any tours that are coming at you. I hope you all dig it. Till next time, get down. I want to listen to one last tune. Jane and I talked about this on the last episode that we did together. Couple of months ago. It's hard to keep track of all this stuff. But Jane was on another episode. We talked. It was right around Halloween. And last year, Halloween, was the first time I'd ever heard of this band, The Interrupters. My band, my Motown band, Joey Steele and the Attitude Adjusters, we played a show with The Interrupters. And I fell in love with the band. I was sitting backstage and I wasn't even going to go down and listen to them because someone told me that they were like kind of ska-esque. And I'm not a super ska fan. But I was sitting back there and talking to some of the members of Bad Cop, Bad Cop, and they're like, oh, you really should check out The Interrupters. They're really, really good. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go check it out. I went downstairs, begrudgingly went downstairs like an idiot, like an ignorant fool, begrudgingly went downstairs and listened to maybe 10 seconds of a tune and immediately fell in love with this band. They are on constant repeat on my tunes and my phone. I love this band so much. All of their tunes are catchy as fuck and just incredible. And they're like, again, this rare breed. All the bands on this episode are this rare breed of like incredibly talented musicians writing super catchy, wonderful tunes, but also good people. They're really wonderful people, went out of their way to make us feel special at the show. They go out of their way at every show to make everyone feel special, and I'm just in love with them. Despite the fact that, you know, I think maybe I'm not going to always agree with the politics they're putting out, but I'm a piece of shit, so I probably don't agree with anyone's politics completely, so I'm going to put that's my problem, really, not theirs. That's really probably a badge of courage for that. That's probably like a testament to their like songwriting that they don't agree with me. Anyway, whatever. I love this band, and I especially love this tune, and I agree with everything in this tune. This is an amazing song, politically, socially, economically, culturally, whatever-wise. Love it. Here's The Interrupters doing She Got Arrested. Try getting it out of your head later. Good luck. She Got Arrested by The Interrupters. Get down.
She got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again. She met like a year ago last Christmas. He drove a truck in town on business. She fell in love, or so she thought, cause Maryland was cold and Nevada was hot. So she moved alone to the city of sin, then got a place with him, put her chips all in. Yeah, got dark, he was a stranger, put his hands on her in anger, and she got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, I'd do it again, I'd do it again.
out of the police station in an 8-foot room for interrogation. Her fingerprints on the murder weapon. All I needed was a tape confession, and she was bloody, beat the air. Said, I mean, it was cold, but she cried no tears. This time it was his blood on her. She wore it like a badge of honor, and she got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals caught her outside of Spokane. She said, I'd do it again, do it again, do it again, yeah, I'd do it again, I'd do it again. Drove 1,000 miles in a cell for a year on trial. No regrets for the things she done. He lost the fight, she won it. Told the story, jury heard it. Deliberating for a verdict. She's up for murder in the first degree, cause she refused to plead insanity. And she got arrested for shooting down her man. U.S. Marshals